What will allow Endurance Gold to emerge from the bottom?
Well, Endurance Gold has been a bottom fish focus for me since late 2019 when Robert Boyd managed to option the Reliance project, which is in southwestern British Columbia, not that far from the 4-million-ounce high-grade former Braylorn mine. And they have been drilling this system, the Royal Treasure Shear Corridor, for the last 4 or 5 years. And the market, they've got really good results. They get 70% hits for gold mineralization with each hole, which is extremely high. But the widths and the grades, they vary. And the market has been sort of lukewarm about the whole play. This year they were actually funded by the biggest shareholder, Richard Killiam, who put in $4 million at 20 cents, a premium to the market. I don't think the stock has even traded that high this year. But they have a 6,000-meter drill program underway this year. Now, last year they were supposed to be the big year, but they got only a fraction of their work done due to forest fires in that area. So the season was curtailed. This year there have been no forest fires. They've done about 6,100 meters, 22 holes. And this past week they reported assays for 4 holes. Now the earlier holes in this year, they were focused on the Reliance target, which was the original zone that Charlie Boitard intersected a couple decades ago and got a big hole that took the stock I think it was called Manika Mining, took it to $5 almost overnight, and then they drilled more holes, and they were sort of fizzled, didn't have anything, and they never really understood the system. Robert Boyd's team has gone in there and said, this is an epizonal orogenic gold system, quite high up in the level based on the antimony that's present in the, and arsenic that's present in the system. And these things will persist 1,000 meters. I mean, if we get deep enough, we could find Braylorn-style veins at depth. But so they've been very carefully constructing an understanding of what's going on. Now, this news was important for two reasons. One, which is actually kind of like a dud reason. They had announced we put a second rig onto the project. Now, normally when people go, oh, second rig, that means it's great. Yeah, they've got the hot zone and they now need 2 drills to beaver away at it. But no, that's not what the second rig is doing. The second rig is drilling shallow core holes in the area of the Eagle Zone where everything is very oxidized and where they only have RC holes. And the reason they did RC earlier is they knew they would get horrible core recovery, and so they did RC and they got grades. Now they're going in there with special technology which gives core recovery. And the press release said, yeah, the 6 holes we've drilled in that area, we have good core recovery. The technology is working. So you ask, okay, some of these are twinning RC holes, some are infilling. Why are they bothering with this? Why aren't they using the second rig to chase the system deeper where the market wants to see, does it blossom and get richer and fatter at depth, that type thing? Why are they doing this? Well, after 4 or 5 years of drilling, they feel they would like to put out a resource estimate, a 43-101 resource estimate. And they wanted to have better confidence about the RC grades, plus fill in some of the gaps. And internally, they are following the results, modeling it, gradually understanding the various mineral domains that are there, how to tie the zones together, how to, come up with a proper resource estimate. And they would like to, by the end of the first quarter of next year, put out a resource estimate. Will they do so? Well, internally, they would like to see a 1-million-ounce threshold because that sort of seems to be what the market wants to hear. But that's only the case when you've delineated the system, when you found its limits, and you say, okay, here's what we got. Now we go into a economic studies. You're going to do a PEA, figure out what it's cost to mine this and what the NPV will be. This project is not like that. So I'm hopeful that they don't count on this 1-million-ounce threshold. It'll be fine if they can get an open pittable resource for that, where they've now got 760 meters of structure holds into it, mineralization everywhere. It would be nice if we see the 1-million-ounce, but even if they come up with only 0.5 million ounce, I think this would be valuable because if we do go into a gold bull market inflection, institutional audiences will come back, and they don't particularly like to invest in expiration plays. They like to point at some ounces in the ground as, okay, this is a beginning, this is a starter, this explains why we own this junior. So I hope they do put out that resource. And when they publish the technical report, it will also reveal all the geometry of the system and alleviate this concern that, they get high grade here and there and all that, but how does it hang all together? So I think if they do this, they will get a big boost. Now, that's sort of what the trivial part of the news release, which actually has meaningful significance if you're thinking big picture. But what was really interesting was the holds that they reported, two holds for the Crown Gap. And they had decent grades for that, 15 and 19 grams per ton, over short intervals, 0.7, 1.5 type intervals. But they also had a hole, two holes, the deepest hole. This one was 185 meters step out down the dip of the dip of the plane of the Eagle Zone, and that got 5 grams over 5 meters or something like that. And this hole is significant because the theory here is that as you go deeper, this system persists. So, and another one in there was down about 125 meters. It also intersected mineralization. So they know that the Eagle Zone, whereas, when they step to the southeast up the hill, they drilled a bunch of blank holes, and it looks like it's cut off, though that may be due to some sort of fault offset. They need to sort that out. But they know now that chasing the Eagle Zone down plunge, this is going to work out. But the Crown Gap, this was a sort of 400-500 meter gap between Reliance and Eagle, where it was never drilled because at surface the geochem is very mediocre, I guess, compared to near Reliance and in the Eagle. But these holes have intersected, confirmed that the zone is present, and they reported several additional holes, and two of them they have tagged as VG, visible gold. And I asked Robert Boyd, what does that mean? Did any of these other holes have VG in it? Why are you highlighting these? And he said, no, not counting the Reliance holes, we did not see VG in any of these other holes, including these high-grade ones that we just reported. Now, normally, they can see, if you look hard enough with your hand lens, maybe a speck here or there. But generally, the gold's hidden in the sulfide, so you have to wait for the assays to see anything. So I asked him, well, did you find specks? Is this what you're talking about? And he said, no, this is actually serious visible gold. It's what one of our geologists says. One is called 3-foot gold. And the other one was a 10-foot gold. And what he meant by this, jokingly, was that you can see that gold visible with the naked eye from 3 feet and from 10 feet. So this is something potentially very promising about the Crown Gap. They've got more holes planned for it. And when we get the assays for these VG holes, that could be very, very interesting. And he also said that they are planning one hole. They're going to drill till the end of November. They're going to plan one hole that will be a from surface to down the dip of the structure. It has about a 75-degree southwest dip, a 650-meter hole aimed to it. That will be the deepest the system has ever been intersected. Now, that's a high-risk hole because maybe it does peter out or maybe it's fault offset. But if that hits, that would really set the stage for follow-up drilling next year. And as winter creeps into the area, they're going to move down the hill to the northwest toward the lake, where no drilling has ever done. This is to the northwest of the Reliance Zone. That's where they're going to put some holes in to see if they can repeat the Crown Gap experience, where there was nothing interesting at surface, yet the structure continues, it's mineralized at depth, and they have the system. So that would probably extend the 760 meters of mineralized corridor that they have now to maybe 1,000 meters of mineralized corridor. So I asked Robert, we don't know what the results of all this will be. We'll get them in a couple batches, probably one batch in mid-November, another batch in early December, and maybe the last ones early early January. Now, I'll give you two scenarios, Robert. One is, suppose we have a horrible bear market like this year where your stock is going to flatline because people don't believe in gold and it's going to be more of the same. So what would you do in that scenario? And the answer was simple, yes. We have $6 million plus in the treasury. We don't need to finance. We can continue to do a scale program similar. We'll have a much better understanding of where to put the next holds. We have the roads in place. We'll be able to grow this at depth. And if we do have a resource estimate, the audience will be quite pleased with that. And then they ask them, well, what if we get that inflection and the market starts to believe we're in a gold bull market and suddenly money is being shoved in your face? They want to give you like $5, $10 million to do more work at a much better price than this current 15 cent price. What would you do? And, well, the answer is very simple. You know, they could get a 30,000 meter plus drill program going with multiple rigs to chase this, to infill where they already have the deeper holes, but even chase it deeper because, you know, deeper holes, more expensive, take more time. And they are permitting the Olympic project that's adjacent. They have to still do all the First Nations consultations, but they've been working on it for a while. They've developed surface targets that are drill ready, which could repeat what's going on at the Royal Treasure Shear Corridor. So they will be able, for the first time ever in this area, be able to put holes in there and maybe duplicate what's going on at the Royal Treasure Shear. But that's not all what they could do. They also still have the Elephant Mountain project in Alaska. This is an intrusion-related gold system. They've pecked away at it with, you know, small drill programs. They've got, you know, half-decent gold mineralization. It's not off the scale, but they haven't really sorted out how this system works. And Robert says, this needs a $2 million program, and that's really all we can do right now because we have a permit in place for helicopter-supported drilling. If we would need to do a new permitting cycle if we wanted to put in roads for a much more extensive. So the maximum we could like conceivably spend is $2 million. So that's a good reason not to farm this out, because intrusion-related gold systems in the Tombstone Belt that stretches between Yukon and Alaska, that's turning red hot. We saw Sitka Gold deliver much better grades than they had in the past in the last few weeks. We, of course, have the Snowline story. The market's finally taking Free Gold Ventures, a summit project, seriously. And when you have a higher real gold price, these, you know, sheeted vein systems, decrease the cutoff grade, you build the ounces, they become these block caveable underground or open pitable system, you can see a lot of ounces grow. So if a whole bunch of money comes in the door, they could also mobilize a drill program at Elephant Mountain in Alaska and perhaps show that this thing is also a intrusion-related gold system that needs to be taken seriously. So I think either scenario, we continue with this bear market or we get this inflection. Endurance Gold is one of the better bottom fish out there. And I would say right now, if somebody were to start bottom fishing, this should be their priority, to pick up stock while we're still in this negative funk about the resource junior sector dying out.
John, thank you so much for the update.
You're welcome, Jim.
We've been speaking with John Kaiser. I'm Jim Goddard. Comments made on Kaiser Watch are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as a recommendation to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Archived online at kaiserresearch.com.